throughout the time that I have served on the executive, before the up until the 14th of December, and that was the executive meeting, I can very clearly recall, we had been delivering on a whole range of issues. We had agreed a draft programme for government, not once, but twice, and Sinn Féin had signed up to that. And then, at the flip of a coin, after reaching an agreement at that executive meeting as to how we would deal with the RHI, which Sinn Féin knew about months before it was ever exposed in terms of much more public profile. And then over the course of that weekend, they decided that this was an opportune time, they believed, at a point where they could weaken unionism, and they have used this crisis to try and remove Arlene Foster.
Well, she's talking about an inquiry now because she has been stood aside, as it were, because of the political process and the way it works here. I mean, she was approached by Martin McGuinness privately about stepping aside. It didn't have to look like Sinn Féin was calling the shots. Other parties had suggested this too. It would have been a lot easier if she'd just done that then, wouldn't it?
Well, you see, Gerry Adams is now saying that this was a private meeting with friendly advice to step aside. Well, that advice was noted. If it was friendly advice, it wouldn't have led to the collapse of the institutions. So Sinn Féin's tactics around this have clearly evolved as the crisis has deepened. And they then decided to walk away from the institutions. Whenever we had brought forward proposals that would have meant there wouldn't have been the costs of RHI, that £500 million that Sinn Féin have talked about, and also an independent inquiry that would have got to the truth, because I share the anger that the public have in relation to the handling of this scheme. Arlene Foster shares that. That's why she has said sorry. She said it is the deepest political regret of her career, as it is, I think, for all of the politicians at Stormont, including the opposition, who didn't see the flaws in
the scheme. There's a lot of bad feeling, though, beyond RHI, isn't there? I mean, for instance, I mean, some people are saying it was a bit of a cheap shot on your part, cutting £50,000, which is not an enormous sum of money, from the Leave for Irish Language funding. Was that entirely necessary?
Well, I've listened a lot to what some people have said, and I haven't spoken a lot about this in depth. But from I've came into office, £2.7 million has been spent on the Irish language, its traditions and culture. £1.9 million has been spent on Ulster Scots. Now, if there's a disparity of funding, it has been under...
Must it always be us and them
No, it shouldn't be, because I've made the point that the Irish language doesn't belong to any particular section. It is something that is cherished by a lot of people in both sections of our community.
Not by you personally.
Well, again, that's not something that I have ever said. Scottish Presbyterians kept the language alive. And therefore, why would I have a view that would be negative towards the Irish language? What I have warned Sinn Féin and other nationalists is against the weaponization of the Irish language, using it as a cultural weapon against unionism. And that has been what has been counterproductive. But I personally, and as a minister, I have continued to fund the LEFA scheme. I have continued to provide that funding to the Irish language to actually a significant level above and beyond what the Ulster Scots has received.
Just a final point, Paul Given. I mean, you're gung-ho for an election. You say, you know, nothing to fear and all the rest of it, you know, fighting talk, fair enough. But as James Brokenshire, the Secretary of State, says, you know, it could all deepen divisions, this election, threaten the continuity of the political institutions, as he said. They should not be lightly thrown away, because as we know, it was a tortuous process setting this system up. And post-election, you could be in a sort of desert as far as devolution is concerned, which would be a terrible shame, wouldn't
it? Well, I agree with that analysis. But what I can't accept is Gerry Adams' view that he requires compliant unionists who'll roll over to the Republican agenda. And when you read Martin McGuinness's statement, you can see throughout that statement, it refers to the Mays development, it talks about the Irish Language Act, it refers to broader Republican objectives, which they feel that they haven't been able to achieve. Well, I wasn't elected to deliver a Republican agenda. I was elected to govern on behalf of everyone in Northern Ireland, and I seek to do that. And I work with those who the elected representatives, who the electorate put forward. But what I think really concerns
the whole
me,
Connor, point of the joint executive was a coming together of orange and green, and it looks like this election is going back to those basics. And a lot of commentators have said that Martin McGuinness got on very well with Ian Paisley and got on, you know, in a workmanlike, cool, professional way with Peter Robinson. But sort of Arlene Foster has sort of slightly smashed all this up with sort of partisan politics.
No, Arlene Foster has been able to reach out in a way that I can see when she engages with the community, irrespective of who you are. But strong leadership has been used by the opposition to be seen as arrogance. The Arlene Foster I know is not an arrogant lady. She is someone who cares deeply about people and about meeting their needs. And what I think concerns...
She's not too keen on exercising charm as far as Martin McGuinness is concerned by the looks of things.
Well, what we have always said is we will do business with people. And, you know, if you're saying to me, do we want to be friends with Sinn Féin? No, we don't. How could we be friends with people in Sinn Féin given the history of the conflict and the responsibility the Republican movement have had with the IRA? How could we be friends with them? But we do business with people in the interests of Northern Ireland. But what's going to happen now, when at a time when we need government, when we needed to agree a budget, when we have Brexit coming, and I have to deliver the bedroom tax?
Well, I was going to mention that to get back to specifics. I mean, is that going to be introduced in February?
Well, I can't introduce a
rate. Some of the housing organisations are worried that it might.
Well, let me give you the figures. There are 33,720 people in Northern Ireland who were due to be given mitigation measures against the bedroom tax, which is going to be introduced in legislation, primary legislation. The 20th of February is cited as the date in which our laws change in line with the rest of the United Kingdom. So the bedroom tax is coming to Northern Ireland. But parallel to that, we were going to introduce a scheme which would compensate those individuals that they wouldn't then have seen a loss in their payment. That requires a regulation. That requires the executive to exist for me. And I have that regulation ready. I was taking it to the executive.
But you've made it impossible for the executive to continue DUP because of your intransigence over the RHI scandal. I mean, that's, in a nutshell, what all the other parties are saying.
Again, we have said, just to finish that point, I have a regulation. I was taking that regulation to the executive. It requires executive agreement. As a result of that, I do not have the legal basis to provide the £25 million that is needed in the financial year, next financial year, to deal with that. That's the sum of money that we're talking about. £91 million over the period of the next 3 years. Something that Sinn Féin obviously campaigned upon, and rightly so. But now, as a result of that, we can't bring a regulation in. Now, I will be tasking my officials to look at what emergency procedures there may be. Again, in the absence of the executive, we may well now be having the bedroom tax being introduced on the 20th of February, and we aren't able to mitigate against that. That is the price that could be paid.
A lot of people are very disappointed that we're in the state we're in. We have to leave it there, Paul Given. Thank you very much indeed.